I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Climate change. That's a phrase I never used as a kid or even a teenager. Now I use it a lot in daily conversation, here on The World. Often on the show, we're talking about big topics like the international agreements to cut carbon emissions or the rise in global sea levels. But the real impacts of climate change are actually felt on a much smaller scale. So today, The World's Carolyn Beeler is issuing you this challenge. Try to look at climate change from a very different perspective.
I want you to pretend with me for a minute. Pretend like you don't have legs to take you to shade when it's dangerously hot out. Pretend you can't just buy or make yourself food when you're hungry.
Can I have the bacon cheeseburger?
Pretend you can't control your own body temperature or even how fast you breathe. Pretend like you're a muscle. Yes, like the ones we eat in garlic and white wine sauce. Stay with me here. You're alive, and you're stuck to a jagged rock in a tide pool in the Atlantic Ocean. You're surrounded by about a dozen other mussels and lots of spiky gray barnacles. It's low tide, so you're out of the water, and the sun starts to hit you.
You are sitting there in the blazing sun. You're not going to be able to move.
This is marine biologist Brian Helmuth from Northeastern University, who's going to be our guide today.
You can't escape the heat, you can't escape the sun, you can't go into a crevice like something like a crab.
Your black shell absorbs heat just like asphalt on a summer day.
You literally start to cook if you get too hot.
You can only breathe deeply if water is flowing past you. That makes the heat harder to bear.
The closest thing I can think of to describe what that's like is if you reach down into your chest cavity, you rip out your lungs and you hold them above your head and you hope to God that the wind blows, because if it doesn't, you're going to suffocate.
You also hope to God water currents flow normally and bring you plankton to eat, or else you might starve. Finally, the tide reaches you. Water rushes over your gills and you can breathe and eat. But all these things that are keeping you alive, they're starting to change. It's getting hotter. Water currents are changing. The ocean is getting more acidic, so it's harder to make the shell that protects you from predators.
So once that shell gets thinner, it's a lot easier to get broken, and it's a lot more difficult to survive in an already harsh environment.
There used to be a mussel bed near here the size of a football field. Now there are just a couple tiny patches. That's happening all along the East Coast. Okay, you can go back to being a human now. And with that human brain of yours, you might be asking, now, why do I care about this? Here's a reason. Seafood is a major protein source, especially for the global poor. And more than $400 million worth of mussels, clams, and oysters are caught in the U.S. alone each year. If we want the seafood industry to survive, Brian Helmuth says we need to look at climate change differently.
As humans, we have this really biased view of the world. Well over 95% of organisms on Earth, they're completely dependent on the ambient environment for their temperature.
So if we see climate change only through our perspective as heat-regulating mobile beings, we're missing most of the picture.
Unless we have a pretty good handle on how those non-human organisms are experiencing climate change, we're not going to have any sense of how further climate change is likely to affect us.
Here's an example of how our human-centered perspective can be a problem. Scientists used to measure air temperature to gauge how warm mussels got. Air temperature is, after all, how we humans experience heat. But then, in the 1990s, Helmuth invented a gadget called a robo-mussel to measure temperature inside of mussel shells. And he learned that it can get a lot hotter inside those dark shells than outside, especially if low tide comes during the heat of the day.
So we can see animal temperatures of 100 degrees or more, even though the air temperature may be as low as 70, 75.
That means some cooler spots that scientists thought might be good for mussel farms in a decade or two could actually be hot enough to kill them off.
For example, we see places in central Oregon where they'll really bake, even though it's pretty far north, because all the low tides are happening in the middle of the day.
Helmuth and his colleagues have used robo-mussel readings and other data to predict where mussels will thrive and where they're likely to die in the future. His data are being used by conservation planners on the West Coast and by the aquaculture industry in Italy. And Helmuth hopes that by shifting our perspective, we'll be able to keep mussels on the menu for decades to come. For The World, Carolyn Beeler, Nahant, Massachusetts. Oh, and I almost forgot. If you're worried about being able to eat mussels again after channeling one for this story, don't be.
Do you eat mussels?
I do eat mussels. It's one of the things I love about being a marine biologist is I can eat some of my study organisms.